The Sound of Murder.
Martin!
Hello, V. Am I late?
The service is all over.
Oh, God.
The rest of the family have all gone on to the reception. The
traffic was fine as far as Red Hill, but after that it was...
I want a serious talk with you.
Honestly, I left Salt with plenty of time to...
About Henry.
Henry?
I want you to find him for me.
Where did you last put him?
Oh, grow up, kid brother. This is serious.
Wasn't that Henry playing the organ?
No, it's someone they had to find at the last moment.
Well, Henry always plays the organ at family weddings.
I know.
Besides, I thought young Cynthia was a favourite.
She is.
So what's he up to?
Well, earlier this month he went off to the southwest on an organ playing tour.
So?
Well, he was due back the day before yesterday, but there's been no sign of him.
Not even a message?
Well, 10 days ago he sent me a postcard from Launceston. He said he was going to a village called Ferneybrook in the Moors.
And where's that?
Dartmoor. It seems the church organ there is something special. He wanted to make a tape recording.
I see.
He also said he'd be back on Thursday, and he was looking forward to playing at Cynthia's wedding.
And that's the last you heard from him?
Yes.
You can tell the police.
No. I want this kept in the family.
But surely it would...
It could be simply one of Henry's little lapses.
Again?
You might say he was a martyr to young women.
Might I?
One flattering remark from a girl Cynthia's age and he completely loses his head.
And certainly vain.
What man isn't?
He does always come back to you, of course.
Till now.
You think that this time he won't?
I think that someone in the family should go down to Devon and make inquiries.
Oh.
And as you're going back to Salcombe, well, Dartmoor's not much of a diversion, is it? We can call in to Ferneybrook on the way.
I dare say I could spare some time.
Spare some time? You retired from the Navy 3 months ago and all you've done since is mess about in boats.
Boats, I understand. Okay, if you want an escort, searching for Henry, Brother Martin...
Escort? I can't go.
What?
I've got the family business to run.
Oh.
You see my appointment book. Monday, Aberdeen. Tuesday, Oslo. Wednesday, Paris.
Perhaps you could delegate.
Who to? You?
Well, I haven't got the head for it.
Besides...
Yes?
Well, this business with Henry, I don't want to upset the poor old boy by stumbling into one of his silly little affairs.
Oh.
He's always so embarrassed about them. I've known him cry like a kid.
They're being found out.
Because he hates to hurt anyone, especially me.
You should know.
So, if there's some designing little bitch down there who's got to be dealt with, you better let me know.
Why?
He won't have enough money.
Oh, I see.
But we'd better move. I can't have you missing the reception, too.
Whatever you say.
Can you get away immediately after it?
Oh, sorry. I've arranged to spend the rest of the weekend with some friends at Hamble. We're all going sailing tomorrow.
Oh, and drinking, no doubt. You and your fellow bachelors. Can't you cry off?
Well, I promised them I'd be there.
Oh, well, looks as if you have to start first thing on Monday, then, doesn't it?
Well, Henry might turn up by then.
Well, if he does, I'll let you know.
Perhaps you'll join me.
Never touch it.
Yeah.
You're off.
Well, thanks. Well, cheers, then. Seems to have got the place to myself.
Suits me. More customers. More work.
You don't do bar snacks, I suppose.
We do, but not after 2 o'clock.
I've come a long way this morning. Hampshire.
I've heard of it.
I had to leave just after 8. Be pretty well. I got a bit lost coming over the moor.
They all do.
I better explain what I'm here for.
Not the beer.
My name's Hicks. I'm here to look for a missing brother-in-law.
I wouldn't look for mine.
And Mr. White. Henry White. Chap about 50. Flowing white hair. Slight build. Mad about playing the church organ. Bit of a ladies' man.
I'll say.
Then you know him.
I've seen him.
When?
Several times.
When was the last?
Thursday. Same day you left.
Left?
So I'm told.
Any idea where he was going?
If you want to know about Henry White, you'd better ask Sam Brendan.
Sam,
You'll probably find him working in the churchyard. He's a verger.
Oh, I see.
He's also the father of the girl your brother-in-law's run off with. Want the other half?
You ask me what I think, sir. It's this. She's a fool. And he's a bigger one.
But have you any idea where they might have gone, Mr. Brendan?
No, sir.
How long has she been missing?
Not been seen round here since last Thursday. Neither has he.
Have you tried looking for them?
Don't have to. They'll be coming back.
How do you know?
He's left a very expensive gadget behind.
Oh?
It's in the vestry.
That's it over there. His tape recorder. The church organ's a Father Smith. Very old. Your brother-in-law spent hours recording himself playing on it.
An expensive machine like this, you'd expect him to look after it, not leave it lying around in a vestry.
He didn't. I found it out there in the church, and still plugged in.
As if he just walked out and forgotten it.
So, I brought it in here.
Very thoughtful of you.
If he wants the key to the vestry, he'll need to see me.
Was there a tape attached to the machine?
No, sir. You're
quite sure?
Certainly.
Well, as you say, it looks as if he's coming back. So do I wait or carry on to Swarkham? Is there anyone in the village who can put me up for the night?
The season's over.
Where did Henry stay?
Thornton Cottage. Mrs. Amlin runs the place. But I doubt she'll help you.
I can still ask.
You can ask. I'll show you where it is.
Thank you.
This way, sir.
How old is your daughter, Mr. Brendan?
20.
If you're right about this, when she comes back, you'd better talk some sense into her.
She'll not listen.
And I'll have a pie with Henry.
I won't.
You don't need to.
No. He's a puny mortal. I can strangle him single-handed.
Your brother-in-law is none too popular in this village.
Well, so I gather.
Even if he was, I couldn't put you up.
Because the season's over.
All this week I'm working up at the big house for Sir Lionel.
Oh?
Sir Lionel Dunning.
I've heard the name.
Oh, I expect you have. He's not a musician, but he is to do with music.
I see.
This cottage belongs to him.
Oh?
His sister lived here, Miss Emily. I looked after her.
As well as the paying guest.
Your brother-in-law wasn't a paying guest.
He stayed here for nothing?
Not the first visit, naturally, but the second one he did.
Second?
The first was in July. Stayed here for 3 weeks and worked his charms on Miss Emily so he could do whatever he wanted.
She liked him.
He had a way with elderly spinsters. Once told me he was an orphan brought up by maiden aunts.
When did he arrive?
Last Tuesday. Miss Emily, all of a twitter, of course. Poor thing, she got so excited about his coming, she had a stroke during Monday night and died.
Did she suffer from heart trouble?
All her life.
Well, I'm sorry, but you can hardly blame Henry.
Well, that's as may be, but I do for clinging on to his free lodging. He was all in. I thought he'd have a decency to take himself off, not he. Said she told him he could stay till Thursday, so stay till Thursday he did.
I'm afraid he was probably short of ready cash.
All day Wednesday he was over at Newton Cross at the races.
No, Henry backed horses.
Only the ones with three legs, judging by his face that evening.
He came back worse off than he went.
That is why he tried to steal one of our watercolors.
What?
Morning he left, I saw him slipping it into his suitcase. He said Miss Emily had always wanted he to have it.
You mean he kept it?
While we were arguing, Sir Lionel walked in. He told him to put it back.
Which he did.
Double quick. Sir Lionel then ordered him off the premises. Out he went.
I see.
You should have seen the look on his face. If you ask me, Sir Lionel's got an enemy for life.
And you've not seen Henry since?
Oh, yes, I have.
When?
Last Thursday evening. I saw him leaving the village. About dusk it was. I was pulling my curtains. He come out of the church, walked down the path, got in his car and drove off.
Alone?
As far as I could see.
So, he was in the church just before leaving the village?
Playing the organ. He was always playing that organ. Said it fascinated him. Don't fascinate me, tis a proper old weed.
And using his tape recorder, which he then left behind.
He got other things on his mind.
What things?
You told me you'd spoken to Sam Brendan. Didn't he tell you about his daughter?
Yes.
No better than she ought to be, that one. He got expensive taste.
Look, could you be a bit more explicit?
I could. Except I never got it.
Where does the girl live?
Ten Worthy Guest House. It's about 2 miles from here, along the Craigford Road. Works there and lives in.
I see.
Jane Saunders. She owns the place. Could be the only one round her who might know where Sally and your Mr. White have got to.
Really?
Gives you another reason for going there.
Another?
She might have accommodation.
That's rather a long way out of the village.
Just as well, you being his brother-in-law.
I like the room, Mrs. Saunders. Can I take it just the one night?
Of course. I hope you'll like the food. I just lost a member of staff.
Sally Brandon.
Well, you're well informed.
I'm Henry White's brother-in-law. I've been making inquiries about him in Fennybrook.
Oh.
Shall I sign the register? Or do you want me to move on?
I'll risk it. Dinner's at 7:30, if we can cope.
Well, don't worry. I'll eat anything.
It won't be that bad.
All I meant was that I've eaten nothing since breakfast.
I can offer you some sandwiches and tea. Any good?
Fine.
Sandwiches all right?
Mm. Excellent.
Your tea.
Oh, thanks.
So you've been talking to some of the villagers?
Yes, including an old crone with a cat who's advised me to stay well away from the place.
Mrs. Hamlin?
Yes.
She's a damn good cook.
She also told me that Henry has eloped with your member of staff.
I'm afraid she's right. I haven't seen Sally Brendan since last Thursday evening.
Any idea where she could have gone?
I'm afraid not.
Did you see any sign of my brother-in-law last Thursday? I mean, did he call here to pick her up in his car?
No. I drove Sally over to Fernbrook in mine.
You did?
Well, Thursday's my evening off, so I decided to have a word with Mrs. Hamlin. I'm trying to persuade her to come and cook for me next season.
Oh, I see.
Sally was supposed to be on duty. She'd got one of the other girls to stand in for her, so when she asked me to give her a lift, I agreed.
What time did you get there?
Oh, about 7:30. I dropped her in the lane behind the church.
Was Henry still playing the organ?
Yes, yes, I could hear it. Sally went into the church, and I drove on to Thornton Cottage.
And was that the last time you saw her?
Yes. After I'd had a few words with Mrs. Hamlin, I called in at the pub to get all the latest news and then went back to the church.
To see if Sally was still there?
Yeah, I thought she might want to lift back. There was no sign of her, so I drove back alone.
What time?
Oh, about 9:15.
She hadn't left the church with Henry.
How do you know?
Because Mrs. Hamlin saw him leave on his own at about 8:00.
That's odd.
When you drove Sally to Fernbrook, did you suspect she was planning to go away with him?
Of course I didn't. Broad-minded I may be, but when calculating young girls arrange to elope with elderly married men, I draw the line at helping out with the transport.
Oh, sorry.
I know she was anxious to see him, though.
Yes?
But, well, it sounded to me as if she was planning something more in the way of a confrontation.
Did she have any kit with her?
No. Only a sling bag.
Well, she couldn't have been intending to go away.
Unless he planned to buy her a new wardrobe. Isn't that part of the thrill?
He wouldn't have the cash.
Perhaps she didn't know that.
And all this was 4 days ago?
Yes.
Didn't you think of telling the police?
Last Friday morning, when I went up to her room and found the bed hadn't been slept in, I immediately phoned her father. Sam Brendan was quite certain that she and your brother-in-law had gone away together.
But he didn't tell the police either.
Nor did your sister.
She suspects this is one of Henry's indiscretions, and she wants it kept in the family.
Maybe Sam Brendan wants it kept in his. Especially if he's quite convinced they'll be coming back.
Because of the tape recorder.
Right. Rather expensive for a man without any cash.
Present from a sister.
Oh. Are you quite certain he was short of money?
Why?
Well, during our car journey, Sally mentioned that he'd spent the afternoon talking business.
Did you say who with?
Sir Lionel Dunning.
What kind of business?
Antiques, I suppose. That's what it is, isn't it?
My sister directs a very successful furnishing business. One of its functions is to wipe off Henry's losses dabbling in antiques.
What an expensive child he is.
Besides, Sir Lionel had him thrown out of Thornton Cottage that very morning.
What?
Also, Mrs. Hamlin says.
Oh.
I can't see Henry doing a deal with him in the afternoon. Can you?
Depends what he had to say.
Hello? Is that Bea?
Ah, it's you, Martin. How are you getting on?
Well, having had a hot bath and a damn good dinner, thought I'd just phone and report that
I don't doubt that you made yourself comfortable. It's Henry I want to know about.
Well, quite. Well, I'm afraid your suspicions were correct. He's had another lapse.
Damn. You still there?
Yes, just fixing my head back on.
Who is she?
The verger's daughter.
Age?
20.
Type? As if I didn't know.
Well, I've not seen her, but from what I hear, she could be pretty liberal with her favours.
Thank God it's only the village hall. By her off.
You're not here.
What?
She and Henry have gone away together, or so everyone seems to think.
Oh, you're talking nonsense, Martin.
What?
Henry couldn't possibly elope with a girl like that. He hasn't the money.
I think he might have pulled off some kind of business deal.
It'll be the first time if he has.
With some local chap called Dunning.
I still don't believe your elopement theory.
It isn't mine.
My guess is they're rolling somewhere in the local hay, and I hope it bloody chokes her.
Can I help?
Oh, thanks.
Say, you also run a bar?
Of a sort. Like a drink?
I think I'll turn in early.
Ah, it's the moorland air.
I've also had an excellent dinner.
Thank you. Get through to Aberdeen.
Yes, thanks.
How did your sister take the news?
Like a veteran. I'm to keep on plugging away.
You must be very fond of your sister.
Why do you say that?
Well, spend your time looking for her husband.
My time isn't valuable.
No?
I'm retired from the Navy, you see. So all I do is live on my boat at Saltham and wait for something to turn up.
If you're trying to find a new career, I should have thought time was very valuable indeed.
Perhaps. But in my case, I owe Vera quite a debt.
Oh.
Unmarried sailors need homes as much as the others. And mine was provided by Vera.
So you'll be staying on tomorrow?
Well, at least till I've seen this fellow Dunning. What sort of chap is he?
Loves his village, except for the Grockles.
Who?
Visitors. And loves his moor, as long as no one else is using it. But most of all, he loves being the squire.
Squire? That sort of thing went out years ago.
Unfortunately, no one seems to have told him.
And my villagers tell me everything.
No?
Well, such as you being here, asking questions.
I'm trying to find my brother-in-law.
And so you finally come to me, Mr. Hicks.
I understand he'd called to see you last Thursday.
Well?
I thought you might tell me why he came. And he must have had a very strong reason.
Why?
Because only a few hours earlier you'd thrown him out of Thornton Cottage.
Your brother-in-law is a hide of a crab. You push him away and then back he sidles.
Which he did that afternoon.
Yes. At first he was full of apologies.
I'm glad to hear it.
But what he'd really come for was to try and sell me something.
An antique?
In a way.
Did you buy it?
Well, he couldn't guarantee that it was genuine.
I think he was hard up.
He was certainly interested in money.
It has to be. Going off with Sally Brendan.
That's a cryptic remark. Would you care to elaborate?
There was something I heard.
Of whom?
Someone in the village.
Mrs. Hamlin. What did she say to you? Would you rather I asked her myself?
She said the girl had expensive taste.
Well, I have expensive taste. So what construction can you put on that?
It's not the same thing at all.
Well, all she said, it was a more. Well?
Only that the girl wasn't all she ought to be.
Are you all you ought to be? Surely if you were, you wouldn't go listening to gossip and jumping to stupid conclusions.
Everyone I've met in this village of yours is quite certain the girl's gone away with a man over twice her age. If you think he's exploiting her innocence, why don't you send for the police?
Oh, I didn't say that the girl was innocent.
No, that's something.
Sally Brendan has the beauty of a camellia. Also, alas, the brain. Now, it's not her innocence that he's exploiting, it's her folly. Which is why I'm respecting her father's wishes and not reporting this to the police.
Keeping it in the family?
Family pride doesn't stop at Sam Brendan. Or even this village. Aren't you here on behalf of your sister?
All right if I join you.
Of course. Come and sit down.
Thanks. Busman's holiday.
Oh, I always come here on Tuesday. It's my day for walking on the moor.
Sustained by a ploughman's lunch.
Exactly. How did you find our Lord of the Manor?
Oh, very much the pater familias.
Bit of a hoot, really. He's only been here a few years. Bought what they call the big house soon after he was knighted. He's this country's foremost authority on English church music.
Is he?
Oh, didn't he tell you?
All he told me was that he did no deal with my brother-in-law.
Oh.
So what is Henry using for cash?
Is he really that hard up?
According to Vera. Which brings me to Sally Brendan.
Yes?
Just what sort of girl is she?
Young.
I heard she had expensive tastes. But Sir Lionel resented my jumping to the obvious conclusion.
She's one of his villagers.
Oh, that's the truth, Mrs. Saunders. I'm sure you know it.
3 years ago, Sam Brendan lost his wife. He'd always been devoted to Sally. And from then on, he'd hardly let her out of his sight.
Lock up your daughters.
Oh, she stuck it till she was 19, and then Sir Lionel stepped in.
Sir Lionel?
Well, Sam's not only the verger. He's head gardener at the big house. And still believes in the feudal system.
So, free will for Sally.
Right.
God bless the squire.
Seconded. It so happened I had a job and accommodation to offer, and she took both.
And Sam?
A grudging acceptance. If you say so, Sir Lionel, but I'll not be blamed if she cuts across things.
What?
Dartmoor. For pregnancy before wedlock.
A pessimistic type, huh, Sam?
Very.
Or did he know her better than you all thought?
Sally's a good worker. You tell her what to do, she does it.
That's not what I asked.
She enjoys being attractive to men. What girl doesn't?
In other words, Henry wasn't the only one.
That's a question for Sally to answer. I'm going for a walk.
Mind if I come too?
Don't you want to get back to your boat at Thorcombe?
I've never really seen Dartmoor.
Oh.
Waiting for Henry to turn up provides me with an excellent opportunity.
So you'll be staying another night?
If that's all right.
Of course. That's the blowing house.
Sorry?
The Ferneybrook blowing house. I've just been telling you about it.
Ah, yes. Lead.
Tin.
Oh.
Now, we can either go that way and see the Grey Weathers.
What?
Yeah, Stone Circle. Or if you like, we can try the view from the top of Hanging Stone Hill.
Well,
On the other hand, Martin, we can simply walk round and round endlessly discussing Henry and Sally Brendan.
I'm sorry. I'm enjoying the walk a lot. It's just that, well...
You've got other things on your mind.
Lead on, Jane.
Where?
Oh, the Grey Weathers.
You're sure?
Quite. And I promise to concentrate.
Behold!
Impressive.
And all genuine Bronze Age. Oh, no wonder Sir Lionel still gets away with it. People brought up near relics like these probably think the feudal system is something newfangled.
True.
What are they doing?
Huh?
Down there, by that derelict farmhouse. Isn't that a police car?
It's a long way off, but you could be right.
That's Craghead Farm. It's only a heap of rubble. So why would the police be interested?
Escaped convict.
Except that they don't seem to be searching. More like standing guard.
I see what you mean.
Oh, well, that's their business. Having got you to the Grey Weathers, I must tell you all about it.
You know, I'd rather know...
Yes? Well,
I'd rather know a bit more about what happened last July.
Oh, I say this for you, Martin. You persevere.
There's such a lot I don't know.
With Henry, it was youth rediscovered.
And Sally?
She was out of her depth.
But she didn't discourage him.
Well, I think she began to feel a sense of power. After all, here was this patriarch with his flowing mane, his beautiful voices, his musical gifts. But she'd got him totally enslaved.
So it went to her head?
Not as much as it went to his.
Henry's?
Well, of course. When an old wolf lays siege to a pretty young thing like Sally and finds his advances are encouraged, the old wolf begins to imagine he's a young lion.
Did people know what was going on?
In Ferneybrook. Oh, poor old Sam. He couldn't stop saying, I told you so.
Didn't anyone tell her?
Tell her what?
He's married.
But you think she didn't know?
Not only married, but over 50. And she's only 20.
Gerontophilia. It's not unknown.
So, they met in July, and it's still going on in October. That's a long time for Henry. Almost as if...
Yes?
They cut across fields.
It would make sense.
Oh?
Last week, when he turned up again, it was Sally who made the first move.
How'd you know?
Mrs. Hamlin told me.
But if the girl were in that condition, wouldn't you have noticed?
Oh, the summer season was going full blast. I'd no time to notice anything.
Last Thursday, when you gave her a lift to the village.
Yes.
You said something about a confrontation.
I said it was my impression.
Well, I think you were right. And the question now is, what is he doing about it?
Because I don't see him leaving Vera.
Because of her money.
Because he needs her.
Really?
He does, you know. I've spent several of my leaves there, and I've never seen a couple better suited.
Incredible.
But true. Henry's a very knowledgeable companion. Speaks fluent French, for instance. Very attentive, too. Cooks all her favorite dishes. He's also extremely loyal.
Loyal?
There was a terrible quarrel one night between Henry and one of V's business associates. This chap had started teasing her about being the man of the house. Eventually ended up by calling her a female chauvinistic sow. Henry hit him.
Henry?
Not as puny as he looks. The man didn't come around for 10 minutes. He won't walk out on Vera. He's too fond of her.
Well, you could say it that way.
What do you mean?
It's getting cold. We ought to be starting back.
Sounds like the clock in Ponybrook.
Once we're through the plantation, we come out on the lane behind the church.
Carries a long way, that chime. I could hear it from Penworthy.
Did it keep you awake?
Not for long. And it won't tonight, either.
Bear up, we're nearly there.
The lane, where you dropped Sally.
Yes.
I was wondering whether Henry might...
I've talked quite enough about Henry.
All right. Tell me about yourself.
What do you want to know?
How long have you had the guest house?
Nearly 5 years. Tom and I bought it soon after he retired from the shipping business.
Is your husband...
Tom died 3 years ago. We turn right here and up the hill.
First thing I must do is stop at the church and see if Henry's tape recorder is still in the vestry.
Right.
After that, a pint, I think, eh? How about you?
Oh. Watch out! Jump for the back!
Ah, Elsie.
Are you all right, Martin?
Oh, thanks to you. Who's the young maniac?
Ted Searle. He always comes around that corner at 70.
Oh, lucky for me, when I slipped, I fell up the bank. But if I'd fallen backwards, you'd have had one less for dinner. Martin'll have the drink first. His tape recorder can wait.
Good idea.
Besides, if he comes back, someone in the pub may have seen him.
Look, my car's parked over by the green, so I'll leave you here.
Would you come for a drink?
No, sorry, I must get back. See how they're coping with the meal.
I'll not interfere with that.
Evening, landlord.
Bitter?
Large gin, please. One of your locals has nearly killed me.
Sam Brendan?
Brendan? Why should he want
to... You haven't heard.
I've just come off the moor. What am I supposed to...
See any police?
Only in the distance.
They've been all over the village, asking about your brother-in-law.
What?
Someone found Sally Brendan this morning.
Where?
Up over it was. Dead some time, they say. Ice?
No, thanks.
You seem to think your brother-in-law can help him.
Has anyone seen him?
Must be miles away by now. Do the same if I were you. You don't want to run into Sam Brendan.
Your tonic, please.
And you better warn Mrs. Saunders. She hasn't tempted that girl to leave home.
Well, I'd say it was a bit early for recriminations.
It was Sam had to identify her.
Poor devil.
She'd been lying out there for days. Yeah, they've come swarming like bluebottles now. Broncos. Once it's in the papers, nothing will keep them away. Like Princetown in summer.
20. Dreadful.
20? Hundreds more like. I'll be rushed off my feet.
Brendan. Dreadful about your daughter. I can only say
how... Yes, doing.
Yes?
Sir Lionel.
What?
Keeps telling me I'm out of date.
Now, look, shouldn't you be at home, if you like?
They know nothing. All the goings on, and they know nothing. She says I'm old-fashioned. I say she's a fool.
Why?
All the time I'm telling her about the danger, but she won't listen. And I can't hold out against her. I'm Sir Lionel, can I?
Danger? What danger?
Leading no men a dance.
Sir Lionel?
Pretty child. Pretty woman, too. Won't be coming home, though. Not now. Not now.
I'm sorry, V, but there's nothing I can tell you, except the poor girl's been found dead.
Murdered?
That's the rumor.
What do the police say?
I haven't spoken to them.
Why not?
They haven't asked to see me.
Well, you should be seeing them.
Well, I have no status.
You're a naval officer.
Was. Anyway, that doesn't give me the right to go barging in.
How do you know they suspect Henry?
I don't. It's the villagers who suspect Henry.
Oh, well, if you're going to listen to the peasants...
They reckon he had a motive.
What motive?
The girl was threatening to break up his marriage.
Oh, don't be absurd. Henry's been seduced over and over again. A lamppost could seduce Henry if he had a skirt on. But the fact is, he never formed a serious relationship.
But this time it might be different, though. You see, that...
All right. We lead our separate lives. But it suits us, Martin. Both of us. And believe me, we've got a very strong bond. And there isn't a chance in hell that it'll be broken by some Dartmoor nympho.
All the same, he did come back a second time, you know. And it was still going on when they...
You must make that clear to the police. Martin?
All right. I'll try.
If the wretched girl has been murdered, then someone else is responsible, not Henry.
Yes, but...
I'm back in London tomorrow, so I'll be phoning you from there.
Right.
And meanwhile, you and the police must get to the bottom of all this.
It would help if I knew where Henry was.
Did he do any business here with that man you mentioned?
Dunning? No.
Then he'd be short of money, which probably means he's back home, and totally unaware of what's happened to that girl.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll be in touch with you again tomorrow.
Same time.
Who was that person who answered the phone?
Mrs. Saunders. She also provides a damn good dinner.
I hope Mr. Saunders appreciates them.
Mr. Saunders is dead.
Oh. Attractive, is she?
Very.
Well, don't forget what you're down there for. Good night.
Good night, Lee.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Jane. Does your bar run to brandy?
Yes. But there's a visitor for you.
Oh?
Chief Inspector Worth, local CID. I told him you were on the phone, so he's waiting in the line.
What sort of a chap?
Oh, everything's simple, and if it isn't, it ought to be.
It's not going to be simple for me. According to Vera, I'm to establish Henry's innocence.
Then I should have the brandy.
Thanks. What she won't realize is that they're building a case against Henry. They're hardly likely to discuss it with me.
No, I suppose not.
Still, there's one thing going for me.
What's that?
Henry had no motive.
No motive, Commander?
There was no threat to his marriage.
You don't say so.
My sister's been through it all before.
Really?
I don't see it makes any difference, even if the girl was pregnant.
How did you know that she was pregnant?
I guessed.
Did you know?
About 3 months, I should think.
And you still say your sister wouldn't mind?
Well, she'd mind very much, but, well, she'd learn to live with it.
Very sophisticated London people, we all know that. But tolerant too, you say?
You can always ask her yourself.
We shall tomorrow, when she returns from Oslo.
You know she's been abroad then.
Our chaps have called at her London office. And her home.
No sign of Henry.
Did you expect there to be?
He's got no money. Well, none to speak of.
So, where's he hiding?
I don't know.
We're circulating a description of him tonight. And his car?
Well, I expect if he suddenly recognizes himself on television, he'll report to the local police.
Perhaps. Perhaps not.
What exactly is the case against him?
How long have you been down here making inquiries?
Since yesterday.
Then you know a lot already.
I know. The girl was murdered because it's all over the village.
Oh, that's the Chatternag who found her. Dartmoor Rambler, he called himself. Says he sat down for Levens's at Craghead Farm... And there was her foot, sticking out of the rubble.
Then whoever it was made a poor job of hiding her.
Could have been a muscular spasm.
After death,
common enough.
How was she killed?
Oh, you'll have blabbered that too. So you're bound to hear. Back of her head was stove in.
The proverbial blunt instrument.
Well looking.
Any witnesses?
Oh, there's plenty of time for someone to come forward.
Well, they told me in the village she'd been dead for days.
The Rambler again. I can say everything's worldwide round here.
But you died last Thursday night.
When your brother-in-law left the village?
Yes.
It's possible.
But Henry left at about 8 in the evening.
Two witnesses to that.
Mrs. Hamlin.
And Big Doer.
Who?
He'd just come out of the pub and saw Mr. White drive out.
Along the lane behind the church.
Right. Odd thing, though. It was dry that evening. But Mr. White seemed to be expecting foul weather.
Oh?
He was wearing gloves and a cagoule with the hood pulled up.
Perhaps he's a pessimist.
Another odd thing, the windscreen wipers were going on the car.
Surely the important thing is that Sally Brendan wasn't with him.
She was waiting for him down the lane.
What?
A minibus came in that evening from Cragford, visiting Dart's team. They saw her.
When?
About 7:50.
Jane, Mrs. Saunders told me she saw Sally go into the church.
About 7:30.
That's right. About 20 minutes later, she was back in the lane.
Yes.
So what do you think happened?
So what do you think I think?
Well, that they had a row. She told him she was pregnant. He told her he wasn't going to leave his wife, and she saw that she was getting nowhere, so she stormed out.
Perhaps. Perhaps not.
When she was seen by those people in the minibus, she'd cooled down a bit and decided to wait for him.
To pick her up in his car?
Yes.
And reopen discussions, as they say.
Why not?
The next we know, she's lying up over with her head bashed in.
You don't know how she got there.
There's been a track leading to Craghead Farm. A car's been up recently.
Tire marks?
Ground's as hard as a dog's head. But they're clear enough.
You don't know they were made by Henry.
We will when we find the car.
Perhaps. Perhaps not.
Well, time I was moving. And you're quite sure you've no idea where your brother-in-law might be?
If I had, I'd tell you.
He's lived abroad, I hear.
Yes, France. Quite a long time ago.
Oh?
Besides, he'd need money to go there.
And you still claim he had no motive?
I do.
Well, I'll be getting along then.
Yes, lots of gaps to fill.
Your parents still alive, Commander?
Why?
Just policeman's curiosity.
They died a long while ago. Car crash.
When you were still a lad?
15.
Lucky you had a big sister.
What do you mean?
Nice to see a bit of family loyalty. Good night.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What would you like for breakfast?
Just a coffee, please.
Oh, bad night.
One of my molars started tearing up.
Well, we must see about getting you to a dentist. Newton Cross. I'll see what I can arrange.
Very good of you to hold my hand.
I've got shopping to do in Newton anyway, but we're lucky he has a cancellation.
Yes.
And after he's fixed your molar, we'll try to find someone who'll look at this car of yours.
Right.
You'd better use the main car park. It's near his surgery.
Oddly enough, the toothache seems to be wearing off.
10:00, he said.
Yes, but as it seems
to be... So you're in good time. This way. Martin?
That's Henry's car.
What?
The green one.
Are you sure?
I've ridden in it often enough. Come on, let's take a look.
A bit strange the police haven't found it.
They think he's upcountry somewhere, not parked on their doorstep.
If so...
The boot isn't locked.
Shouldn't you report it to the police?
Of course, after I've taken a good look. His luggage is still in it.
What?
Even his shaving gear. And his tapes.
In those boxes?
You can follow Henry's journeys from the labels. Truro, Launceston, Tavistock, Cragford. That's odd. There's no tape for Ferniebrook.
Perhaps he didn't make one.
But he was crazy about that organ.
Could he have the tape with him?
It doesn't seem likely.
Or is it in the church with his recorder?
No, I checked. Do you think he could have given it to Sally?
Not her kind of music, but I'll look in her room.
Unless it's somewhere else in the car. Let's look in the front.
All right.
The driver's door isn't locked either.
Must have left in a hurry.
Yes. What's all this red stuff on the pedals?
What? Oh, that. Ochre, I think.
Ochre? From Cragford Farm?
You know there are no deposits near there.
Yes, he's cagging left in the passenger seat. Oh, my God.
As, I suppose.
It's a very dark red. The car must have been here for days. Hell!
Yes.
Poor Vera.
Poor Sally.
I'd better go and report this to the police.
No, I'll do that. You've got a dentist appointment.
I think it's much more important.
10:00, the man said, which gives you exactly 3 minutes. Come on, this way.
But look here, Jane,
it's all over. We'll meet for coffee.
Yes, I know, but...
11, at the Blackpool Hotel.
But I don't know where it is.
Near the police station. How do you like your coffee, Chief Inspector?
Dark brown, please.
Help yourself to sugar.
A vehicle abandoned for days in a public car park and no one reports it. I'll have to make him jump a bit around here. I suppose Commander Hicks looked it over?
He had to make sure it was his brother-in-law's.
Of course. Pretty obvious what happened in it.
Yes.
We've got a big trawl out, but he's had days to slip away.
Couldn't he still be in Newton?
I doubt it.
Oh, here's Martin.
Oh. Morning, Commander.
Morning, Chief Inspector.
The Chief Inspector has decided to join us for coffee.
How's the tooth?
Pulled below the waterline. But he's salvaged it.
Oh, good.
Quite a craftsman. Shall I help myself?
Oh, please. The Chief Inspector was just telling me why he doesn't think Henry's still in Newton.
Oh? My view is he drove straight down here from Cragford and caught a train to London.
Why catch a train when he had a car?
A car is too easily traced. At least it should be.
And why leave all his kit behind?
He wanted to travel light.
But he even left his personal things, and the car wasn't locked.
He was in a hurry.
Do the tyres match the tracks left at Craghead Farm?
We're checking them now.
There's a big dent in the offside wing.
There are dents all over. I expect he was that kind of driver.
And the ochre on the pedals?
I'm more interested in the blood on the passenger seat.
You think she was killed in the car?
Looks like it.
So, what's your theory?
Well, I suppose it will all come out at the inquest.
When will that be?
All in good time, sir. And then again, it's more your theory than mine.
Mine?
About them quarrelling in the church. Him picking her up in the lane and her having another go at him in the car.
Oh,
I'm sure you can fill in the rest.
Well, I know what's in your mind.
Yes?
That he flew into a rage, and instead of taking her back to Penworth, he suddenly turned off towards Craghead Farm. When the car stopped, she panicked, struggled to get out, and he struck her down.
Seems the obvious solution.
Yes.
But then it's an obvious crime.
Well, there's no motive.
So you keep telling me.
I'll tell you something else. Even if the blood in the car is Sally's...
We'll soon know that.
And even if the tyre marks fit...
That too.
You still haven't proved it was Henry who drove that car.
What?
It could have been someone else.
Your molar, sir. Did you have gas?
Do you really believe someone else drove it?
I don't know, Jane. There are lots of things I don't know. And neither does Worth.
Henry's no saint.
That doesn't make him a murderer.
How well do you really know him?
Not as well as I know V, of course, but...
Don't you think you might be seeing him through her eyes?
Well, why not? She knows him better than any of us.
And you accept her judgment?
She's a damn sight cleverer than I am.
Have there been other women in your life?
Several.
Did none of them last you?
Nope.
Didn't she approve?
Shall I drop you off at Penworthy?
Please. Are you driving on to Fernybrook?
Yes. I want another go at finding that tape. You didn't mention it to Worth, did you?
Anxious about it, aren't you?
Well, because if something's missing, it ought to be there.
Oh, come off it.
What do you mean?
Look, there's every likelihood that Henry used it to tape record the church organ just during his last evening in Fernybrook. Just before Sally arrived.
So?
So what took place between them in the church could also be on the tape. And highly incriminating.
Let me give you a hand with the shopping.
I can manage, thank you. I think Henry destroyed that tape. But if he didn't, and you find it, well, don't do the job for him.
What with supervising my teeth and my car, not to mention my sense of civic duty, you begin to remind me of my sister.
Why, Commander, I'll bet you say that to all the girls.
Keep away from me!
What?
You keep away!
Mr. Brendan.
Oh. Oh, it's you, sir.
Who do you think it was?
Well, it's dark in here. Hey, what did you want?
I'm still after that missing tape. I thought he might have left it somewhere near the organ, so I came up to look and got my feet caught in the pedals.
Sir Lionel must have left the bellows on.
Well, Sir Lionel plays too, does he?
He was him. Had the electrics put in.
I see. There's no sign of the tape.
If there were, I'd have noticed. And if I'd noticed, I'd have told you.
Well, sorry I startled you. It's as if you'd seen a ghost.
We don't have ghosts, sir. Only vandals. And murderers.
Yes, sir. I know what a tape is. One of those things Mr. White used to keep in red boxes.
I wonder whether he'd left one behind.
Mr. White's habit wouldn't leave him things behind, sir.
But if I could take a quick look at the room he used, I...
I cleared it up days ago. Nothing of Mr. Waite's is there. Anything else?
How well did my brother-in-law know the moor?
Hardly at all. He had other interests.
Oh?
But come to think of it, he did do a walk up over.
Did he?
They went Craighead Farmway, I think.
They?
He and Mrs. Saunders.
Jane?
Back in July. Twas when he first come here.
Oh, she never mentioned it.
You judge by the company you keep. Isn't that what they say?
Oh, I think your familiar is asking to come in. Allow me. Is this the window you saw my brother-in-law from?
I've told you that already. And the police.
Did he come out of the church as soon as the organ stopped playing?
Yeah, not at once.
What?
10-20 minutes later.
So the organ stops, and a bit later a man comes out of the church, and you assume it's Henry.
Who else would have been playing it?
What about Sir Lionel?
He never wears a cagoule.
Is that how you recognize Henry?
Bright orange it was. There was no mistaking it.
Was the hood pulled up?
No.
Well, that's odd. The other witness swore it was.
The doer. He's always in the pub. Got a belly on him like a barnstable man.
He doesn't get in the way of his eyes, does he?
Earth might have been up, I suppose.
Then at that distance, and in the dusk, you couldn't possibly have seen his face.
If the man wasn't your brother-in-law, why did he get in his car?
Well, anybody in?
Oh, Sir Lionel, come through, sir.
Afternoon, Hicks.
Sir Lionel?
Still making inquiries? Just a quick word, Mrs. Hamlet.
Sir?
Simply to say that I'm still relying on you to keep an eye on poor Brennan.
I'm taking in his meals like you said.
Only I passed him in the churchyard just now, and he looked right through me.
Doctor, give him something.
Drugs. Now, what he needs is to get away for a bit. I must see what I can arrange. Anyway, don't leave him alone too much. He's still in a state of shock.
Whatever you say, sir.
Oh, and, thanks for making such a good job tidying up my workroom.
Your ladyship's back next week. Twouldn't do for her to see it like it was.
Right.
Well, there is one thing, sir.
Yes?
I couldn't find that big paperweight of yours. You know, a marble one. No sign of it anywhere.
How odd. Still, I dare say it'll turn up. Coming, Hicks?
Yes.
Goodbye then, Mrs. Hamlet.
Goodbye, sir.
Where to now?
The pub.
What more questions?
A few.
You know, Hicks, much as I admire family loyalty, it can sometimes be misguided.
It will surprise you to learn, Sir Lionel, that outside your village, a man is assumed innocent until proved guilty.
Half.
Pint, I think.
Cutting it fine.
Mind if I ask you a few questions?
About your brother-in-law?
Yes.
I'd leave it to the police.
I'm trying to find out what he did last Thursday evening.
You mean you don't know? Everyone else does.
People say he was in the church.
He was seen leaving it.
Did anyone see him go in, though?
He must have gone in if he came out.
If he came out.
A beer.
Oh, thanks. I seem to remember you saying you'd seen him yourself last Thursday.
Just after we opened, he came in for a drink and a bar snack.
Did he say much?
Something about making one last tape recording before he left the village. Wasn't really listening.
What time did he leave?
Wasn't near long, half an hour at the most.
And you assume he went into the church?
Isn't that where the organ is?
But you didn't actually see him go in.
I heard the organ playing, which announces the same thing.
What time would that have been?
Oh, I can't remember. Yes, I can. About 7 it was, because Sam Brennan had just come in, and he always arrived about then.
Sam?
Digging a grave is thirsty work, and he needed his pint. While he was drinking it, we heard the organ, and I said to Sam that Mr. White was at it again.
Did he make any comment?
Nope, nothing. Sam often said nothing when you mention Mr. White. Besides, he was only here for a short time.
Whose grave was it?
Whose? The Stubbings, of course. The funeral was the following day.
And so you do a good job.
He always does a good job. Proper professional, Sam. One of the last. Digs them real deep. Even through the ochre.
What?
The ochre. A big streak of it in the churchyard.
And Sam had been digging through it.
Got it all over his boots.
I've been trying to get you all afternoon.
I was in the village.
I've had the police here, asking about Henry. They're convinced the poor old boy's done away with that wretched girl. God knows why.
Didn't they mention she was pregnant?
What?
About 3 months, I reckon. Their idea seems to be that the girl threatened to tell you, so he had to get rid of her.
That's Lou ludicrous.
Well, I know. I keep trying to explain to them.
If she'd come to me and said she was pregnant by Henry, I'd have laughed in her face.
Laughed?
Martin, why do you think we're a childless couple?
Well, I always assumed you wanted a business career.
Career? What's that got to do with it?
Well, I really don't know. I mean,
the reason we've no family is because Henry's incapable.
Henry?
Oh, he sews well enough.
Well, I'm not sure that I...
Look it up, Martin. I'm not elaborating. The important thing is to let the police know.
That someone else is responsible for the child?
Of course. He's not the one they should be looking for.
All right. I'll phone Worth tonight. However, the child may have had nothing to do with it, or only indirectly.
What do you mean?
Look, V, I think I know what's happened to Henry.
Well, then where is he?
I'd rather not say anything till I'm sure.
Somewhere local?
Yes, but I don't want to talk about it at the moment.
I've changed my plan.
What?
I'm not going to Paris. I'm coming down to Fernie.
No, don't do that.
I want to see things for myself.
V, it would be much better if you stay in London.
Why?
Because... Well, because Henry hasn't enough money to get abroad, so he's bound to try and get in touch with you. And when he does, you must tell him to give himself up to the police.
Well, you just said he was down in Devon.
Yes, but I might be wrong. And it's essential for someone to look out for him at the London end.
Well, sounds plausible, I suppose.
I'm sure it's the best arrangement.
How's your Mrs. Saunders?
Oh, very helpful.
Just going to have another of her damn good dinners?
Hmm, smells like it.
I've still a good mind to come down.
And I think you should stay put.
All right. I will.
Good.
For the moment.
Dinner in 20 minutes.
Oh, fine. I've got time for a gin.
How did the inquiries go?
I didn't find the tape.
I checked in Sally's room. No sign, I'm afraid.
I'm making myself damned unpopular in the village.
Is it worth it?
What do you think? Thanks.
Me?
Yes. I gather you went walking with Henry on the moor. You must know him better than I thought.
I did the same walk with Henry that I did with you.
Oh?
Because he asked to come along, as you did.
Enjoy it?
Well, he made numerous suggestions, all very indecent but highly flattering.
I see.
Unfortunately, there was a cloudburst to dampen his ardour, so we spent the rest of the time squelching back home through fog.
No.
A couple of days later, he noticed Sally, and I was out of his life forever.
Hope you didn't mind my asking.
As for knowing him better than you thought, I don't know how well you thought I knew him. But I did form an opinion of his character.
Yes?
Henry is a senile delinquent, who's vain as a peacock and devious as the devil. And why you waste your time trying to prove he's innocent, only God and your sister know.
In other words, I should move on to Saltham.
Oh, as far as I'm concerned, you can have the room as long as you like. But I do wonder whether what you're doing will really help your sister.
Frankly, Jane, I've got to the point now where I want to find out the truth as much for my own sake as hers. What's more, I'm beginning to get a glimmer of it.
Oh, by the way, she phoned this afternoon while you were out. I answered it.
Did she say much?
Oh, she's like you, asks questions.
Oh, Lord, I hope she wasn't probing.
Not at all. Didn't even ask to see my birth certificate.
She's all tense at the moment. The police have been getting at her.
Oh?
Matter of fact, she wanted to come down here, but I put her off.
Why?
I reckon we're in for a nasty development, and I want to keep her out of it.
What kind of development?
You think Henry's guilty.
An innocent man would have given himself up.
Well, I think you're wrong. Someone else killed Sally Brendan.
Who?
I'm driving over to Newton Cross after dinner to check a few points with the chief inspector. I'll tell you when I get back.
Was this the person you think stole Henry's car?
That's right. And who drove it to Craghead Farm, then abandoned it at Newton Cross.
So where was Henry while all this was happening?
Where is he now?
You can't go opening graves, Commander. You need special permission.
Then I think you should get it.
Because of this theory of yours?
It fits the facts.
It's rather a lot to digest. Can I regurgitate?
If you like.
Sam Brendan overhears the violent scene in the church between his daughter and White. The girl says she's pregnant. White doesn't want to know. The girl leaves.
Shattered.
Brendan is outraged, goes into the church, quarrels with White, and kills him.
In a fury, of course. It wasn't cold-blooded.
Sam Brendan wouldn't even raise his voice in the church, let alone kill someone.
Well, he raised it at me this afternoon when he thought I was Henry come back to haunt him.
Keep away from me. Isn't that what you said?
That's right.
Tell me, Commander,
Is the supernatural now readily accepted in Salcombe?
What are you getting at?
Well, just that you seem so keen to assume is accepted round here.
What's your interpretation?
He was dealing with the quick, not the dead. He thought he saw the man suspected of murdering his daughter and gave him a warning, keep away or I'll do for you.
It didn't sound like that to me.
No, I don't suppose it did. But to continue with your theory, next thing he has to do is to get rid of the body. So he hides it in Miss Dunning's grave.
Which he dug so deep, there was room for two.
Next, he puts on White's cagoule, comes out of the church, and drives away in White's car.
With which is unfamiliar, so he mistakes the light switch for the windscreen wipers.
He drives along the lane behind the church.
With foot hard down and smearing ochre all over the pedals.
Tears round the bend.
Straight into Sally Brendan.
Who's waiting in the lane.
Right!
Wrong. The car would have inflicted multiple injuries. But Sally died from a single blow on the back of the head delivered with tremendous force.
But her natural reaction would be to leap for the bank. Mine was.
Yours?
I've also experienced a car coming at me fast around that bend. Luckily for me, when I slipped, I fell forwards up the bank. But she could have fallen backwards, so her head came down on the wing of the car.
Where the dentist?
Exactly.
Perhaps. Perhaps not. After which, according to you, Brendan picks her up and puts her in the car.
Because he can't bring himself to believe he's killed his own daughter.
Isn't there an opera about that?
He drove off, meaning to rush her to a doctor, but after a few miles he had to face the terrible fact that his daughter was dead.
So he takes her body to Craghead Farm where he hides it. Why?
To incriminate Henry.
Nice bit of invention, Commander, but nothing to do with human beings. Leastways, not the ones round here.
What do you mean?
If Sam Brendan had finally come to think he killed his own daughter, he'd have been shocked out of his mind. He'd have sat there in the car, stunned and helpless. He would never have dreamed up schemes for incriminating White or anyone else.
He hated my brother-in-law. In his mind, Henry was responsible for the girl's death.
Why did he drive the car to Newton?
To create the impression that Henry left by train.
Then how did Brendan get back here?
Walked.
5 miles to Bubby? And another 10 across the moor at night?
No one knows the moor better than he does. He's lived here all his life.
If Sam Brendan had killed your brother-in-law, when would he have done it?
Surely that's obvious.
Not to me.
Between 7:30, when Jane Saunders dropped Sally near the church, and 8 o'clock, when witnesses saw the person they thought was Henry leaving it.
Then we won't have to open any graves, unless it's to bury your theory. You see, Commander, we weren't satisfied with Big Dewar's evidence, or Mrs. Amlin's. So we called on the vicar.
Well, I'm afraid I don't see what the vicar...
The vicarage is close by the church, with the big windows facing its main door. We thought that if the vicar was in that evening, he might have seen a man who left around 8.
And he did?
No. Unfortunately, from about 7:20 to well after 8, he was in his study at the back of the house.
Then I really don't see where the vicar comes
in. Discussing the arrangements for Miss Dunning's funeral with Sam Brendan.
So the vicar is a member too.
What?
Big family. Sir Lionel.
Hello, Jane.
Hello.
Well, nice of you to wake up.
How did it go?
I've made a complete ass of myself.
Oh, dear, poor Martin.
I even hinted it was all one big conspiracy, including the vicar.
Lord bless my soul, Commander.
Not only that. Keep out.
And are you going to?
There are too many unknowns. For instance, why would he abandon his tape recorder, his luggage and his car when he was short of money?
He was in a hurry.
He's had 5 days.
Well, then he must have expected things to happen sooner.
Why should he?
There's been a phone call for you.
Yeah?
No, Sam Brendan. He says he's found what you were looking for.
The tape?
I suppose so. Anyway, he said he'd wait for you in the vestry.
Well, then I'd better go and see him.
Martin?
Yes?
I wish you'd give it up.
Not until I've heard that tape.
Mr. Brendan?
Well, over here, Commander. I put it on the machine.
Where did you find it?
Vicar had it.
What?
Well, he's leaving next month for a new parish. Seems he gave the tape to Mr. White, asking him to make a special recording of the church organ.
As a souvenir?
Aye, that's it. Mr. White left it on the machine, and Vicar took it home last Friday.
After the funeral service?
Well, he didn't know anyone was looking for it till I told him.
Have you heard it?
I know time, he says. So, he'd like it back when he finished with it.
It depends what he'd have to tell us. Want to hear.
Will she be on it?
Your daughter? Probably.
Then I'll wait till a bit later, sir.
I understand.
Well, I'll leave you to lock up, sir. You can drop the key over at my cottage.
Right. Good night, Mr. Brendan, and thank you for all your trouble.
Good night, sir.
First, some variations of mine on the old song of the Cavalier.
Is that you?
Yes, sir.
Who's playing the organ?
Mr. X.
I didn't know he was musical.
We found that tape, sir. The one Mr. White made. He's listening to it in the vestry.
Oh, I see. Well, good night, Brendan.
Good night, sir.
I know. You told me on the phone.
I also told you what happened.
You did?
So what are you going to do about it? Well,
I have already done it, according to you.
Well, you haven't done it, it's yours.
There's one obvious solution.
No, I want to have the child.
Well, that's that, then.
Well, it's not. You're the one responsible.
Two are normally regarded as responsible.
Well, I don't want to marry. You have to cope with my room.
What do you expect me to do? Marry?
Talked of it enough back in the summer.
Ah,
to
the time of romance.
Well, don't think you're going to walk out on me. You've got to
hope. Financially?
Well, yes, it would be something.
That business deal I was telling you about.
Well?
That chap's due here in only a few minutes.
Yeah.
It comes off. Well, there's a chance I might be able to let you have, oh, a couple of hundred.
How far do you think that would go?
Depends on whether you have a child, don't it?
I've already told you what I plan to do.
I thought you were more practical.
As practical as you want to. Perhaps I should go to her house.
You could do a lot worse.
What?
Vera is excellent in a crisis.
Is this some kind of a joke?
Well, Vera can give you sensible advice on all sorts of things, particularly social welfare. She's quite an expert.
Having to deal with all your mistresses.
This being a place of worship, I think you should moderate your language.
But you said you were
agnostic. True. Into the high church.
Oh,
phony. Not a thing to say.
To think I want someone to love me. I really believe that.
One can love madly in summer. But in autumn, one has to be practical.
Then be practical. Tell me what you're going
to
do.
I am not leaving an excellent and gifted wife in order to run away with you, simply because of your condition. Particularly as nowadays it's so much easier not to be in it and to do something about it than you are. Nevertheless, assuming my business transaction is successful, I'm prepared to help you with your expenses.
God, when you finish with someone, you finish, don't you?
We can always look back on a wonderful summer.
So, £200 in goodbye, is that it?
Well, it wouldn't even be that if I don't bring off this deal. May I remind you that you'll be here at any moment?
How long will it take?
Only a few minutes.
Then I'll wait in the churchyard.
Oh, your father's working out there.
Then I'll wait in the room.
As you wish.
This thing you to make?
Yeah.
Is this the path? What's all the noise?
I was thinking, Sally. Autumn's come for both of us, hasn't it?
Is anyone there? Mr. Brendan?
My dear darling, how good are you to come?
I've got cash.
800, what will it be?
For the manufacturer of papers, isn't it?
There's still a question of credit for the discovery.
What do you mean?
I was the one who found it.
This afternoon, when you showed it to me in the house, you had enough paint yourself over what it was.
I didn't claim to be an expert.
I was the one who identified it as a Matthew Knott.
And therefore, valuable.
800, a fair price is only a fragment.
I changed my mind.
What?
800 for the fragment. And another 3 for my assignments about my apartment.
Your apartment? It was painted in some old cabin that you built with a sail.
And the song.
Which only goes to show it's better to be more lucky than rich.
More scholarly.
You've got a nerve.
I'm always fast. For 1100, you get the manuscript and all the credit for its discovery.
Credit is mine anyway.
I was the one who recognized its true identity.
Oh, look, you didn't keep your mouth shut.
If you hadn't been so anxious to show off your scholarship, I'd have sold it to you for next to nothing.
You've got the effrontery to sit there and tell
me. I've never been able to deal with anyone as stupid as you before.
I've made a fortune.
Well,
you are without doubt the most unlovable little insect that I've ever had to deal with.
You're beginning to sound like a man who can't raise another 300.
You agree, don't you?
I am for it, darling.
Well, you do really see it all the time.
Especially if I can now guarantee it's a genuine work of Matthew Locke.
Identified by no less than authority in the line of Dunning.
The world is a gorgeous and blood and
all over an insect. It's just asking to be stamped on.
You may have come to high and mighty at Thornton Cottage this morning. But if you're anxious to get your hands on this manuscript of mine, you'd better come to me.
It's not the only thing I'd like to get my hands on.
And I wouldn't try taking it by force. Sally Brendan knows all about this little meeting of ours. They inform me just outside of the lane. So be a good chap. Go and sit quietly in a pew somewhere and think about how you're going to raise another 300. In cash. Because, you know, dummy, I get rather a kick out of selling into one of your rivals.
He didn't tell us how I got rid of the body.
I can guess.
I'm sure you can. So, what now?
I shall hand this tape over to the police as evidence.
Unless I can dissuade you. Don't even try.
Ah, good morning, Commander. Very good of you to come over.
You said on the phone you wanted to see me.
Yes, sir. Shan't keep you long.
Has Dunning confessed?
No.
But you have arrested him.
What for, sir?
Murdering my brother-in-law.
No body.
Well, Sally Brendan, then.
No witnesses.
I don't understand. I mean, what exactly are you doing?
Legwork, mostly. For instance, we found the murder weapon.
That killed Sally?
A large marble paperweight.
Where?
One of my young constables spotted it. A chap called Radford. In the middle of a pile of stones it was, near Craghead Farm. You needed a very keen eye to pick it out. But he did.
Good for him.
Ambitious, I suppose.
And you're sure it's the weapon?
No fingerprints, of course. But forensics says it fits the wound. And the girl's left her mark on it.
Blood?
A trace, but enough.
And it's Dunning's paperweight.
Yes. We've established that from Mrs. Hamlin.
Having an alibi?
He was all alone that evening, writing his next book.
In that case, he hasn't. Which means he had both opportunity and motive.
He also had that bit of manuscript. We found it in a locked drawer of his desk.
Well, I know to make a fool of myself, not again. But I do have a pretty shrewd idea where the body is.
The grave?
I've got the right theory, but the wrong man.
Sam Brendan instead of Sir Lionel?
Exactly. Only Dunning didn't knock her down in his car. He deliberately killed her.
Because she knew too much.
Of course. So what with that? And all the evidence on the tape? Well, isn't it all over?
Seeing a murder is one thing, Commander. Hearing it is another. A good defense lawyer could make a fortune out of that tape.
I still say you've got more than enough to arrest him.
I don't want to rush things.
Rush?
First, I've got to get him to talk.
What do you mean?
He's been here hours, and all he's done is to eat our sandwiches, drink our tea, and complain about both.
Yeah, but you must have questioned him.
All morning, but he refuses to say a word. Oh, I've suggested he sends for a solicitor, but he won't even do that.
You've got nothing out of him at all.
All he says is he's not saying anything, not till we find the second tape recorder.
Second one?
Which is why I asked you to come and see us.
Me? Would your brother-in-law have had a second machine?
Only the one in the vestry looks fairly new.
It is. My sister gave it him last Christmas.
Well, might he have kept the old one?
I suppose he could have had it as a standby in case a new one went wrong. But if so, where is it?
You've no idea, sir?
Well, none whatever. Pity.
You see, we've been searching for it all day, and no one can find it. Not even Radford.
Well, frankly, I think the second machine is a complete red herring invented by Dunning.
Why, sir?
To delay things long enough to invent a story.
Perhaps. Perhaps not.
Anyway, you can't go on doing nothing simply because Dunning refuses to talk.
We're not totally inactive.
No.
Matter of fact, could be a busy afternoon.
Why?
We've got permission to open the grave.
Afternoon, Mrs. Hamlin.
Not enough to be pestering the living, then. Can't even get a bit of peace when we're dead. More wine.
Thanks.
I hope you don't mind me joining you for dinner.
I'm delighted.
All the other guests having gone, I thought we'd have a celebration. The end of the season for us, the end of the case for you.
Not quite.
Oh, cheer up, Martin. Worth's bound to phone soon, and I'm sure he'll have the news you want.
You realize I'm more unpopular than ever.
All along, you've been the one person who was right. Well, he's never popular.
Vera's attitude is quite extraordinary. I thought she'd be overjoyed, which is anything but.
Did you give a reason?
Think at the publicity. Of course, nothing will bring Henry back, I know that. But, well, it's as if she wanted the whole thing dropped.
Women who've just lost their husbands are not always rational.
I suppose not.
Now she's a widow, well, she might come to depend on you more. It's rotten having to take all the decisions on your own. Believe me. Forecast is good for tomorrow. We should do a long walk on the moor.
I think we should have a day off at Sawcombe and go out on the boat.
I don't think I've got a very good stomach.
Why not? You've got a very good everything else.
Had any thoughts about your new career?
Not really. Except buying a hotel and drinking the profits.
Ah, a short career.
That was an excellent dinner, Jane.
Thank you.
You're a damn good cook.
I try.
So why employ Mrs. Hamlin next season?
Oh, because the cooking and everything else is too much for me to run on my own.
Well, as to that, I...
Yes?
Why doesn't Worth phone?
Oh, still worrying about Henry.
It's not a habit I can break easily.
Then I must try to find something else to occupy you, mustn't I?
I don't think you'll have to try very hard.
Oh, that's someone in reception.
Oh, damn.
A bit late, so I better go and see who it is.
No, I'll go. Stay where you are.
Dunning, what are you doing here?
Because of your theories, they've opened my sister's grave.
Well?
She wasn't alone in it.
So they found his body.
I want you to come with me to the church at Ferneybrook. And bring your ears.
The church?
Yes, I want you to listen to something.
What?
I'll tell you on the way.
You want me to come now?
Yes.
I need a moment to punch it.
Well, don't take all night.
Who is it?
Dunning.
You mean Worth has let him go?
Yes, he wants me to go to church with him.
But at this time of night you mustn't.
Why?
That should be obvious if you think he's guilty.
I'm damn sure he is, but he'd be mad to try the same thing twice.
A lot of murderers are mad.
I know. But curiosity always gets the better of me.
I think both of us should go.
Not necessary.
Martin!
Now, look, stop worrying. I shan't be long.
If you're not back in half an hour, I shall phone the police.
I may need longer.
Half an hour, Martin.
All right.
And for God's sake, take care of yourself.
Jane.
Come on, Hicks. I haven't got all night.
Goodbye, Jane.
I thought we'd listen to it in the vestry.
I still can't understand why Worth should have lent it to you.
You know, we're fundamentally different, you and I. For a sailor, of course, the important thing is sight. I could picture you standing on the bridge of a warship, peering through the fog at some distant light.
We use radar.
But for me, The important thing is hearing. You look at the surface, but I hear what lies beneath.
I thought we came to listen to the tape.
Well, the first few minutes are taken up with what White describes as his variations on the old song of the Cavalier, which most of us attribute to Antonio de Cabezon.
If you say so.
After which, Sally Brendan enters.
I know.
Now, I'm sure you lead a blameless life, Hicks, but if you didn't, and someone started to discuss the sordid details while you were making a tape recording, especially for a vicar, wouldn't you switch off the machine?
He forgot.
I see. Let's listen to part of his conversation with poor Sally.
Quite an expert.
Trying to deal with all your mistresses.
Yeah, this being a place of worship, I think you should moderate your language.
Oh, you said you were
agnostic.
True.
You were the high church one.
Oh, you told me.
Not a thing to say.
I think I want to believe you love me. I really believe that.
One can love madly in summer, but in autumn, one has to be practical.
Well, what did you hear?
I never claimed Henry was a saint.
But the sound, man. What about the sound?
Well, there's a bit of an echo.
Why?
He's in a church.
All right, well, now let's listen to some of my conversation with him. Quite a charmer, your brother-in-law.
Well,
less echo.
Exactly.
Because that conversation was here in the vestry, hours earlier.
Here?
Yes.
Well, you said he called at your house.
No, he did for our first meeting. And that was where he saw something that crystallized the whole scheme in his mind.
What?
An object heavy enough to kill with.
Are you trying to tell me he stole your paperweight?
It was lying on my desk, just in front of him.
And you didn't see him take it?
Well, it must have been while I was phoning the bank. He wanted cash, you see. So he gave me a couple of hours to get it and suggested that we meet again later in here.
And you agreed?
Oh, it seemed odd, but at the time I had no idea what he was planning.
Which was
to go away and set up his machine so that he could record our transaction.
Last time we discussed all this, you said there was no transaction at all.
I said that he couldn't guarantee that what he was trying to sell me was genuine.
I think you were deliberately concealing the fact that he made a discovery, not you.
Discovery? He didn't even know what it was. I was the one who...
Yes, yes, well, we won't go into all that.
No. The important thing is that I bought it.
What?
For 800. He urgently needed the cash, you see? There was no one else to sell it to.
Nothing about you buying it on the tape.
No, of course not, because that tape's been edited. If that were the case, it would have a join in it. But it hasn't.
No.
So, what's your answer to that?
Look, I told you earlier that my sister was not alone in her grave.
Quite. That's where you hid the body.
Oh, you will jump to conclusion.
What do you mean? She wasn't sharing it with his body. Only his tape recorder.
All right. We had two.
So what? The organ music and the conversation with Sally were recorded on this new machine of his, with this tape. But his conversation with me had been recorded earlier with a different tape on the old machine. Well, immediately afterwards, he edited that tape, removing all reference to the fact that I'd actually bought the fragment of the manuscript, and later, after his conversation with Sally in the church that evening, he re-recorded the edited piece of tape on this one, and then finally added his warning to me about Sally being just outside.
Taking him by force. Sally Brendan knows all about this meeting of ours. waiting for me just outside of the lane. So be a good chap. Go and sit quietly in a pew somewhere. Think about how you're going to raise another 300.
I hope you noted that the echo has now returned. White spoke those words into an empty church, and anyone hearing them would conclude, as you concluded, that having murdered him, I'd be forced to get rid of poor Sally, too.
Not a bad tale, Dunning, except that it's all based on nothing more than a slight difference in echo.
Slight?
Different voices, different positions in the church.
I'm not convinced. What time is it?
Nearly 20 to 11.
Then I must ask you to be patient for a few moments longer.
All right. Meanwhile, perhaps you care to explain why Henry did all this.
Well, to give me a motive for murdering Sally Brendan.
But why on earth should he want anyone to think you'd murdered Sally?
Because he murdered her himself.
He had no motive. For
the girl was pregnant.
But that really explains the worst. It wasn't Henry's child.
No! That's why he killed her.
What?
In his conversation with Sally, he goes to lengths to show that her pregnancy is no threat to his marriage. But not once does he mention that he couldn't possibly be the father of the child. He couldn't afford to put that on the tape. It was his motive for murder.
You mean, because the child was someone else's?
Exactly.
Whose?
Oh, does it matter?
Good God!
Feudal right, my dear Hicks, there are times when your imagination runs riot. No. Someone outside the village, of course. The important point is that last July, he was quite convinced that the girl was hopelessly in love with him. And yet all the time she was giving the comida to someone else. What is more, completely unaware that he was quite incapable of fathering a child, the poor girl then makes things even worse by demanding that he pay for its support.
So what you're saying is...
What I'm saying is that Sally Brendan was the victim of your brother-in-law's colossal vanity.
And you're never at loss for a plausible explanation.
You mean you're still not convinced?
Only that you murdered him.
Oh, there's a touch of the bulldog in you.
But damn it, old man, I heard you do it, my dear Hicks. If all you lack is a demonstration of how flights of Box Angelicas sang him to his rest, then I come for this
painfully.
You just stay where you are and listen.
Been carried away by his own performance.
What?
If we could just loosen his collar.
What are you doing?
If I don't get you back to Penworthy in the next few minutes, Mrs. Saunders will be sending for the army.
Lord, I've forgotten.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Method acting, my dear Worth. Never try it.
No, sir.
Well, Hicks, you're still unconvinced?
Commander?
Ah! Saved by the bell.
What?
Convincing evidence.
Right here is the church clock,
which strikes every quarter.
I know that.
Then explain this. That tape, which you keep insisting has not been faked, lasts well over 15 minutes.
18, to be exact.
So why does one never hear the striking of the church clock?
Because...
Yes?
Because the conversations between Henry and Sally, and Henry and you, were recorded out of sequence.
And may he rot.
I'm sorry, Hicks.
You tried damned hard on his behalf.
Now, you talk as if it's all over. But simply because he tried to incriminate you doesn't prove he's guilty.
What?
Well, there's no need to go down with the ship, Commander.
I've no doubt that once we start questioning him, he'll tell us everything. The vain ones always do.
You better find him first.
Well, not me. Interpol. He thinks he's got away with it. And all he needs to do is hide his identity and live abroad. Only to do that, he'll soon need a lot more money.
You think he'll get in touch with my sister?
Bound to. He'll be on one of those foreign trips of hers. And when he does, clump.
I like a wedding, Mrs. Amlin.
Why all the rush, though?
What?
I've only known each other since the end of the season.
That was months ago.
It wouldn't surprise me if they'd cut across fields.
Sir Lionel's given them good value.
I'm surprised to hear you playing the organ for that.
Why? Members of his village, no?
Aye, the commander invested a lot of money in that guest house of ours. Even sold his boat.
I'm sure they'll make a success of it.
Who's that in that hat?
Oh, the bridegroom's sister.
Mrs. White.
Poor soul.
Do you think she'd keep away from marriages? Anne can't have been made in heaven.
Still, there's one thing certain. She's well rid of White. Be a long, long while before he comes out.
If the prison has a chapel, and the chapel has an organ, he won't want to.
In The Sound of Murder by Eric Corner, the part of Martin was played by Conrad Phillips, and that of Jane by Rosalind Adams. Others in the cast were Vera, Ingrid Hafner, Sir Lionel, Hedley Goodall, Inspector Worth, Gregory de Pomeray, Landlord, Gerald Wells, Brendan, Ray Handy, Mrs. Hamlin, June Marlowe, Henry, Peter Wickham, and Sally, Alison Hancock. The programme, which came from Bristol, was directed by Brian Miller.